You are Locked On Jaguars, your daily Jacksonville Jaguars podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
When the Jags come with you, Falcons, what you gonna do? Browns, what you gonna do? Carolina, what you gonna do? Them Jags coming for you. Yeah, them taking Jags, here they come. You better run, Forrest, run.
Welcome back to the last Locked On Jaguars episode of the regular season. I am your host, Zach Goodall. You can follow me on Twitter, at Zach_Goodall. You can follow my co-host, Chris Thornton, at his handle, at Misto Christofo. And of course, be sure to follow the Locked On Jaguars Twitter handle itself, at Locked On Jaguars. It would be a blessing if by New Year's Day, which is in 2 days, if that handle was up to above 300 followers. It's close. It's at what, Chris? Like 285-ish?
Yeah, upper 280s.
All right, so let's make it happen. That is what I ask of you, the listeners, is to get that account above 300. You will be repaid by good content. It'll keep pumping out. But so we'll go ahead and get right into it. The Jaguars take on the Titans tomorrow. And in a game where people are conflicted, do they play the starters? Do they not? I think they should. Chris, do you think that they should be playing the starters tomorrow?
Beat the hell out of the Titans.
That's what I'm here for. I am very irrationally nervous that 1999 could happen all over again if we play the Titans in the playoffs, even though I 100% believe this is a better team than the Titans are, just completely. But I don't know. I feel like that's not uncommon for people to fear right now.
Our Jaguars.
That's what I'm saying. I mean, do you not have any fear about that kind of stuff, though?
I have fear every week, no matter the opponent, because the Jags have scarred me, and it's going to take a long time for those scars to fade.
This is fair. This is definitely fair. So that leads us into previewing this week's game against the Titans. I know you've done a solid job at it this week without me. I had a couple family things going on why I couldn't record. But game being tomorrow, we're going to look at these final injury reports. There are a lot more guys on the Jags injury report than the Titans. They had a whole three players on theirs. But we're just going to get into the designations. Blair Brown. He was limited Wednesday, full participant Thursday, Friday with a concussion. He is questionable. I have a feeling he'll be ready to go, and I have a feeling he'll get playing time. Although I do think they're going to play the starters, there will come a point where if they're winning bigly or losing bigly, that they're going to need to put in the backups, because these Titans are talking about it as like one of the most important games they've ever played. I don't know if anyone's seen that in the media this week, but like Jarrell Casey and a couple other players, Kevin Byard, are all saying how this is an incredibly important game. If they start getting taken out by the Jags, I think they're going to start going for some players out of rage, which sucks, but it's not necessarily uncommon. So I do think guys like Blair Brown, who aren't starters, will start getting playing time later into the game. Then Avery Jones did not practice all week with a back injury. He's questionable. I would figure they'll make him out come Sunday and just give Marcell Dareus more playing time. Maybe who even would back up Dareus at that point? Because they've got they've got Malik, they've got Avery, they've got Dareus, and then they've got Campbell, who they throw inside. But who else would come into play?
I would say Sheldon Day, but rip.
Rip. What about Eli Onku? Is he still on the roster?
I believe so. I don't think he was taken off. I don't remember him ever being waived. I thought he was going to be waived when Dareus was traded here, but he was not, and he was in fact Sheldon Day.
I just thought I had seen something about him. Oh, maybe he was put on the practice squad or had missed some time from some injury or something like that at one point. But he's a guy that
he's still currently on the roster, so.
All right, well, he's a guy that could potentially see some playing time as well, especially with Jones potentially being out.
He's actually active roster. He is not practice squad.
All right, good. So he's a guy that could get some time. Marquise Lee, ankle injury, out, did not practice all week and has been labeled out. And Cam Robinson with an abdomen injury has been limited all week and is questionable. So we've seen Cam Robinson for the second half of the season has been very much plagued by injuries. His performance has been way down from it. He's had a couple games where he looked better, including against Seattle. But there's also been a lot of times where it's been like, this is not the Cam that they drafted or had for the first week. For the first half of the season. So I'd go easy on Cam as well, because when he's healthy, he's a cornerstone to this offense as a rookie already, which is pretty great considering he was a second round pick. But he really is that, you know, building block at left tackle, so they need to be careful with him.
Yeah, I mean, I would say put somebody in place of Cam, but the tackle depth is not good.
It's not good, and it is actually, in fact, horrible. But
I would also like Cam to heal up for the playoffs. So
I'd rather him be healthy for the playoffs.
I mean, the Titans pass rush isn't something that's like terrifying. So I mean, maybe you just throw a guy out there and just hope.
maybe you give Cam a little bit of playing time and you see how he's performing, and if you see even early on that he needs to sit down, then you sit him down. Because this has been something I've been worried about all season since he got that injury, and people like to kind of brush it off as no big deal. He's not playing well. In when did he get injured? Week 7? That was week 7 right before the bye, I'm pretty sure. Yeah.
That was the Colts game, right?
Yeah, Colts game. So ever since week 7, he has not been the camera. I mean, you had the take PFF grades for what it's worth, but what were you telling me before the pod about Cam Robinson?
Cam Robinson is like
the lowest graded player on a
PFF scale. Cam Robinson is very bad, even though we know he's not very bad. It's just he's been plagued by injuries.
Yeah, and it's not good. He's allowing a lot of pressure. So
I didn't realize Cam only played 10 snaps against the 49ers.
I didn't either. I guess I didn't really think about it.
He had 5 passing and 5 running snaps, and then
interesting. Yeah, I'd be really careful with him, because if he goes down in the playoffs, like, that's going to be a bigger deal than I think anyone's going to give it credit to, because as you said, the tackle depth is not good.
I mean, they have a guy named William Poles that I've been waiting to see, like, what he can do.
Me too! Because there was hype for him. He came from Chicago. I mean, I didn't necessarily know what the hype came from as, like, a reserve offensive lineman. But I saw it when the Jaguars claimed him. There were, like, people in draft Twitter saying, like, oh, you know, there was intangibles there for him. Like,
he was intriguing.
He is huge.
He's 6'8", 344.
He's just a big mauler.
And he's young. I mean, like, age-wise, but, like, this is his second year. And, I mean, he's 26, but he's huge.
So he's fresh, yeah, is what you're
he's
saying.
He's fresh.
I don't see why he hasn't even been active for most of the season, if not all of the season.
I don't think he's been active at all ever since they claimed him.
I think he... For some reason, I thought he was active in, like, one of the very first few games.
He might have been active, like, the first game after he was claimed, but that's it.
But, like, what does that tell
you? That's when Cam was playing.
Yeah, that's when he was playing. Well, he hasn't been active ever since then, if he was at all. So he's someone that should be active this week, because Josh Wells is very, very bad.
He's, in fact, not good.
Very, very bad. In fact, maybe even horrible. So, and that's going to be something we talk about all offseason, is there's going to be some things for them to do in free agency, in the draft. Quarterback obviously still being something that they're going to have to address somehow, some way, regardless of how great Bortles looked in that 3-week stretch. But offensive line could be just as important, with potentially needing a starter or two, and they just need to redo the entire depth.
Yeah, I mean, free agency, draft, just you got to get some O-line depth. I guess competition.
Yeah, that's really how I view it. I mean, if they... Ideally, I would want them to draft 3 offensive linemen. one of them maybe being starter, and then in the middle to late rounds, some like intriguing depth pieces that you could bring along.
I'm for it.
Never hurts to have more offensive linemen, really. But I think that'll take us over to the Titans. And like I said, their injury report is short. It's so short that I'll even read someone who didn't get a designation. It starts with Eric Decker. They don't even classify what his injury was. All they say is that he was limited in practice. But he did not receive a designation. He will be playing. Logan Ryan, the Jaguars' number two free agent option if they hadn't signed AJ Boye, did not participate in practice as of Friday. With an ankle injury, he is questionable. Him being out there, the Titans secondary is very bad. Jonathan Cyprian, as you all know, we don't need to go into details with him.
Outside of Kevin Byard.
Kevin Byard is good. He is, but he's also 1-4. And he's rangy, so he can cover the deep ball on the three quarters of the field when they need him to. But wherever Byard isn't is where essentially Bortles might actually find some success, because Ryan is good. He is also injured, so this is something to watch out for. Jonathan Cyprian, bad. Adoree Jackson, really, I mean, I guess he's come along-ish a little bit. I think he had a flashy interception a couple weeks back, but he's really not ever been a true corner, and I think this is something I talked about earlier in the year before the Titans game in week two. Adoree Jackson, people were questioning whether he should be playing running back or receiver when he hit the NFL.
He's an athlete.
He is an athlete. It's kind of like when you're, you know, getting, when you're scouting for college ball and you're getting high schoolers and you don't know where to put them, you just label them as athletes and they sign as athletes. Then you figure out what you do with them later. But the Titans drafted him in the first round when he was being touted as like a late day two, early day three pick. So I questioned the move right when they did it, especially because there were some other guys that were available that were better cornerbacks. I knew the two off the board at that point were Lattimore and Marlon Humphrey. Mm-hmm. So there were still some other guys left, but they did what they did, and they have a running back playing corner now. So it should make things a little easier. If Logan Ryan's out, it really is going to be Kevin Byard versus the world, which is hard to imagine being the Jaguars offense and having Blake Bortles at quarterback, but here we are.
Welcome to 2017, folks. Let's end this year on a weird note.
Yeah, let's get weird. Then DeMarco Murray has a knee injury. What is the knee injury classified as?
All right, so they came out earlier this week and said that DeMarco Murray has a third degree MCL tear. But DeMarco said earlier this week that he was going to play through it, but I guess the coaching staff decided against it and has ruled him as out.
So that means Derrick Henry will start at running back. Henry should be the starter regardless. I think he's better than DeMarco at this point, and there's so much potential for him to be like a true bell cow back, in which case I am nervous about him. I'm not worried about the rest of their offense, really, because Mariota has been bothered by injuries all year and has had a bad year, and no one's really broken out in the receiver core. It still is like Delanie Walker and like Rishard Matthews, same as last year. Corey Davis, I think, will be better in the future. Taywan Taylor, your guy, has been flashy, but I mean, none of them have truly carved out a really good role. It still seems like I said, Walker and Matthews are the 1-2 guys, so if you're going to be worried about anything with this Titans offense, it's that their offensive line is good, and Derrick Henry will utilize that.
I'll tell you what, the two most kind of, well, not disappointing in this sense, but kind of just like under expectations for what I had, both the Tennessee and the Tampa Bay offenses have been much worse than I was anticipating. I was expecting them to light the league on fire this year.
I did too. I was very hopeful for both Winston and Mariota, so it'll be interesting to see if they can bounce back next year.
They're done. It's the Blake Bortles show now.
So this should take us into our players of interest segment for both sides of the ball for both teams. Chris, I'm going to let you go ahead and kick this off. Who would you say is your player of interest for the Jaguars offense and the Titans defense?
Jaguars offense It's kind of a tough one, but I think my player of interest is Leonard Fournette. He's been kind of up and down lately, and I think Leonard, it'd be really good for his momentum and the team if they can get a strong rushing effort from Leonard this week.
I was going to say Leonard, and then you picked him. So I've got a solid backup to that, but I do agree with you 100% on Leonard, especially with picking up momentum because he's been up and down as of late. My player of interest is Blake Bortles. No matter what really anyone says in defense of him for the 49ers game, he still also did have not – he didn't have a good game. I'm not going to go as far as to say he had a really, really bad game. At the same time, there were a lot of really bad throws, and you could likely put two of those interceptions on him. And if there was that fourth interception that almost happened, then you could have put three interceptions on him. So no matter how anyone will try and twist it, it still wasn't good. At the same time, he also did leave. He was the reason that they were left in the game at like later on into the game. So you have to give him credit where it's due. But he put 21 points on the board really for the 49ers at some point.
He wasn't by any means good really that game, but he was the best at the
he was the best player
on the team.
He was the best thing they really had because the entire team faltered. So the reason I say that is that this week needs to be the week he bounces back to take them into the playoffs. Because I mean, he lost the hot streak, that 3-game hot streak that he had before the 49ers game. So at least regain some of that hot streak momentum so it's not completely gone this week, and then carry that into the wild card game. And then if you win that, carry that into Pittsburgh. And suddenly you're playing with a lot of momentum and you just won a playoff game and you are carrying it in from the season. So that's why I would say it's Blake.
I blame Mike K for the downfall of Blake.
All right. So Mike K is not the only person to blame. I also am a little bit to blame. I think me and Mike were both talking about it. What was Mike's tweet? I forget.
Mike was like, if Blake Bortles throws multiple touchdowns and no interceptions in this game, he'll be the first Jags quarterback to do so. And then Blake throws a pick on his first drive.
Well, that's the thing. I had heard the announcer say on that first drive before it happened that, what was it? Blake is the only quarterback since week 12 to not have thrown an interception. So I tweeted, Blake Bortles is the only quarterback since week 12 not to throw an interception. What a time, or something like that, or tweets I never thought I'd send. Mm-hmm. And then he threw an interception, and then he threw two more. So I am also to blame, and I take blame for it.
It's okay. He forgives you.
I hope so. But then looking at this Titans defense, if you had to pick a player of interest, who would it be?
His name goes by Kevin Byard.
He is good, and he is Ryan Kieran, one of our buddies, good friend of the podcast guy.
He is definitely, he's the not the highest graded player on the defense. Drill Casey is by 0.7, but Kevin Byard is definitely for a while there he had a really hot interception streak. It seemed like he was getting one a week for a little stretch there, but definitely Blake's going to have to keep mind of where number 31 is, because he could probably definitely wreck the passing game if he gets into a groove.
Yeah, I you mentioned my player of interest. You mentioned his name is Jarrell Casey, defensive end, and they run a 3-4, so he gets a little bit into the interior as well. I said it last week, I was very worried about DeForest Buckner, and what do you know, DeForest Buckner had a really solid game, had a lot of pressure. I think he had a defended pass at one point. So I was worried about Patrick Omame, AJ Cannon, and that interior going up against a really strong, like solid three tech like him. So seeing Jarrell Casey, and I'm sure he'll play between the four and the five tech, I'm worried about him as well, creating a lot of pressure to make things easier for a guy like Kevin Byard to go and get the ball when Blake Bortles is facing pressure. So I'm not scared of this Titans defense when it's all said and done, because there's so many bad parts to it. at the same time, there are a couple pieces there that you need to keep your eye on and be worried about. And I'd say Casey and Byard are definitely those top two.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely the two best players on that defense.
Mm-hmm. And Brian Arakpo has fallen off a little bit, but he's always been a good pass rusher. This year, he only has 6 sacks. But he could be a guy you watch for as well. Obviously, like we said before, Logan Ryan, if he's playing, is someone to watch. Otherwise, it's really not too worrisome.
Mm-hmm.
But then looking at the Titans offense and Jaguars defense, who you got?
The Titans offense, it's easily going to have to be Marcus Mariota for me. If he can get hot and get like really going like we've seen Mariota be, it's going to be really hard to stop him.
I actually disagree there. Just because Mariota's had such a down year, I don't think that's going to bounce back at all in Week 17 against the Jags defense. I don't think I wouldn't hold out hope for him doing well as a neutral observer of this game. I don't have high hopes for him whatsoever.
My 1B would probably be Delanie Walker, but that's also contingent on Mariota.
And even with Mariota having a down year, like we said before, Walker is still their like number one guy, really, and he's always been a very productive tight end. I am watching for Derrick Henry, that 100%, I think, because we've seen him, and we've seen him do well against the Jaguars, and we've seen him get these big plays for a big guy like him to have the top end speed that he has. I'm worried about him.
Yeah, I mean, the joke with Derrick Henry is that he can just, between Fournette and Henry, is who can run into the pile the most and make yardage out of it.
Yeah, exactly. And as of late, it's been more Henry doing that than Fournette, mm-hmm. which has been worrisome about Fournette. So curious to see how Henry does. I'm curious to see how this rush defense responds. Should we be worried about him because he's technically a number two back? Kind of with the curse of how the Jaguars can't defend against number two running backs? Or since he's starter, can we just forget about that?
Well, it seems like the last few times that we've played Derrick Henry, he seems to be the back that carves us up, opposed to DeMarco Murray. So, I mean, I feel like Derrick Henry's, at this point in their careers, is the better running back over DeMarco Murray anyway, so...
I think he is too. It's just more. I was just kind of more making a play on how
backups at any position seem to do better against the Jags, whether it be running back, quarterback, whatever.
It's odd. But then looking to the Jaguars defense, who you got?
This is a tough one because there's so many players that I think could have a good game. And I mean, Ngakoue got a sack last week, but it definitely wasn't the performance. To be fair, Garoppolo was just shelling the ball out and probably under 2 seconds almost every throw, it seems. So Ngakoue was getting pressure. Honestly, I think my player to watch is Jalen Ramsey for the sole fact that you mentioned earlier that the Titans are going to be fighting their hardest this game, and if they start losing, they're going to get chippy, and I think Ramsey's smack talk is going to get into the heads of some people, and I think that's going to be a fantastic thing to watch.
I think so, too. I think that's going to be fantastic.
So, I mean, if Tennessee gets down early and the Jags just put a stranglehold, Ramsey smack talk versus whoever's frustrated in front of him is going to be great, and I think it's going to lead to some mental errors.
Fighting.
I hope not fighting, because I really fighting leads to either suspension or injury.
Yeah, no, but I do think it'll get chippy like that, in which case Jalen is just great to have around. I'm going with Calais Campbell to see if he can end his year as strong as he started it. Obviously, he started it against the Texans with 4 sacks. Can he finish on a high note, maybe re-enter himself into the defensive player of the year discussion that he's kind of died out of? Not, he's still a participant in that discussion, but he's definitely fallen off of it a little bit. So I'd like to see if he can end his regular season on a strong note.
Yeah, Calais, man, he has been a surprise, at least to me. I'm sure there's probably people that believe that he could get this kind of production, but I would have never thought that he would. I mean, what is he at, like 15 sacks right now?
I think 14.5.
14.5. Well, I would have never thought that he would be within four sacks of doubling his career, like, season high in a season.
Well, I'm not the one that said he was going to get, what, four sacks this year?
I said 4 to 6. And then he got 4 in week 1. So it's like, well, I am officially wrong.
I thought that was hysterical.
To be fair, I was right with Ngakoue. I did say 10 plus for Ngakoue, so.
Whatever, Sully Cristofo.
I have no proof to back up these takes because that account is long gone. So,
yeah,
which is a good and bad thing because, man, I was right on. I wish I had those tweets because I would say out of probably 15 takes, I was right on at least 10 of them. I got the Ramsey Boye interception totals, like projections correct. I said the Jags would win 4 games at home and they won 5. I said Blake. What's Blake's? I think I have Blake's wrong. I said he would post a 3-1 touchdown interception ratio, so I believe that's wrong.
Well, but, after last week, he's not there anymore. he was on his way to being like at a 2.5-1.
I had Fowler at 6+ sacks, Ngakoue 10+, Campbell at 4+, which is technically correct, but I had him at 4-6. Those were my main predictions. Malik Jackson, I had at 8.
Malik is good.
I had a good feeling about Malik going into this year, and he has proved me right.
Right,
Malik. How many interceptions does Jack have? So I had him at two.
I think he's at 1.
I think he's at 1, and then he had that fumble recovery for a touchdown against the Jets. So, but yeah, my takes were in fact not that bad.
No, I just like to give you crap about someone who's in the Defensive Player of the Year discussion.
Yes, I will take my L on that.
Mm-hmm. So, we'll come down to our last segment. And, I mean, the top 4 seeds in the AFC have been decided. It's known the Patriots, Steelers, and then the Jags and the Chiefs lock up that top 4. There are 4 teams in contention for the 5th and 6th seeds. And the Titans are one of them. So this should make it obvious the Jaguars need to beat the Titans this week. Knock them out. Just ruin their hopes for the second year in a row. Please. Blake Bortles, please.
Please.
This is something that we will start saying you are good at, and that is eliminating the Titans and making their fans cry. Just do it.
Has somebody made a movie parody yet of Remember the Titans? And then
I don't know. But so we have the Titans, the Chargers, the Bills, and the Ravens. And Chris, you have the playoff simulator thing up, right?
I have the machine. Yeah, so I will just list off the matchup. And we'll just quickly go through each one because we have the whole NFL to do. This is both for the AFC and NFC. This is to determine who we think the playoff picture will look like. So I'll just give a matchup and I'll ask who you think is going to win. We don't really have to elaborate since there's a lot of them. And obviously key matchups we can kind of talk about. But so I'll just list them off and you give me who you think. And then I'll obviously give my answer. All right, so Green Bay at Detroit.
Detroit.
I also agree.
I mean, I'm just here for the Packers being forced to release Aaron Rodgers so we can sign him this offseason because of how they handled his injury, apparently, like, illegally.
I haven't seen too much else on that, so I think that was just a bunch of, like, butthurt teams. But
yeah.
All right, so Texans at Colts.
Let's get weird. Go Colts.
Yeah, I'm thinking the same thing. Jacoby Brissett over TJ Yates.
And the dude who was like neck and neck with Quavo in high school playing football. I forget his name, like Taylor Heineke. I don't know.
Oh, yeah, Heineke. All right, Chicago at Minnesota.
Minnesota.
Even with their backups, they'll beat Chicago.
Easily.
Okay, Jets at Patriots.
Patriots.
Redskins at Giants.
Redskins. I'll go Redskins.
Cowboys at Eagles.
Eagles, even with Nick Foles.
I'm going Cowboys because Zeke is back. And the Cowboys have to win. Oh, I know. The Cowboys are eliminated, I think, aren't they?
I don't know. I don't know if they're eliminated.
I want to say I think they were officially eliminated last week. So, actually, with that being the case, I think Nick Foles.
I mean, I do get where you're coming from with it, though. If it is a game that they're fighting for, then maybe the Cowboys could pull something off.
I'm actually 99% sure that the Cowboys are eliminated from playoffs because I think I saw that on like Facebook last week.
I'm pulling that up right now in the hunt. Yeah, it looks like the Seahawks are the only team in the hunt eliminated. Yes, the Cowboys have been eliminated.
All right, so let's go Eagles. Final game at home. They'll be feeling it at the link. Yeah. Browns at Steelers.
Steelers.
I'm going to say Steelers, but I have a really strong feeling that the Browns are going to pull this one out somehow.
No chance. I see no way.
And then Panthers at Falcons. This is to determine some playoff seeding. The Panthers are hot, but they struggled against the Buccaneers, and the Falcons are the Falcons, so they can do whatever. I am actually not entirely sure. I'm going to give the advantage to the home team in Atlanta.
I was going to say the same thing. I'm picking Falcons this week.
All right, so Falcons, that doesn't change the seeding yet. Bengals at Ravens. Ravens, I think, have to win to stay alive.
I think, yeah, I'm pretty sure it's the Ravens have to win to stay in. And that's just the I don't – when it comes down to these AFC teams, I just don't know who really I think is the best fit to get into the playoffs.
I think the Ravens defense will be able to heckle Andy Dalton enough.
Where is the game being played? Cincinnati or
Baltimore? It's in Baltimore.
Then I'm going Baltimore.
All right, so Baltimore stays in the fifth seed. Buffalo at Miami. Buffalo is also playing for a playoff spot.
Buffalo.
So, Buffalo in Miami. And with that win, Buffalo knocks Tennessee out of the playoffs right now and takes over the sixth seed. New Orleans at Tampa Bay.
Who would you say is at Tampa Bay?
New Orleans.
New Orleans.
Yeah, Nollins. That changes the seeding. That actually bumps New Orleans to the third seed and bumps Los Angeles down to the fourth seed. All right.
Interesting.
Jags at Titans. Duval.
Jags.
All right. The Jags. Kansas City at Denver.
Kansas City.
It's going to be Mahomes season, and Mahomes is going to torch the Broncos defense.
I am here. Mahomes hive.
All right. Oakland at Los Angeles. The Chargers. The Chargers also have to win to stay in.
I say Chargers.
Well, with that win, the Chargers overtake the wild card spot for the Bills, and it would be Jacksonville versus the Chargers, so not great.
Not great.
San Francisco at the Rams.
Rams.
And that's a tough one because Jimmy Garoppolo is hot right now.
He's hot, but the Rams are also good.
I'll give the Rams, but I think it could be a shootout. And with that win, the Rams overtake the third seed once again and bump New Orleans back down. And the Cardinals versus the Seahawks, the spoiler. If the Seahawks lose, they are eliminated from playoff contention. If they win, they're in, I believe. And if they win, and they're at home. So Seattle at home, must win game to get into the playoffs.
Well, no, if the Seahawks win and the Falcons win. Then
Yeah. So the Seahawks.
I think the Seahawks win, but are still eliminated.
All right, so Seahawks. So our final playoff picture is New England with the 1 seed, Pittsburgh with the 2 seed, Jacksonville with the 3 seed, Kansas City with the 4 seed, Baltimore with the 5th seed and Los Angeles Chargers with the 6th seed in the AFC. In the NFC, you have the Eagles with the 1st seed, Minnesota with the 2nd seed, Los Angeles, the Rams in the 3rd seed, the Saints at the 4th seed, the Panthers at the 5th seed, and the Falcons at the 6th seed.
I think that's the most likely.
I do not want the Chargers to come to Jacksonville.
I don't. I really don't. I'm afraid of that again. At the same time, I do think that's what's most likely to happen.
So, if that's the case, we are rooting for the Raiders to win this week, because then the Bills would come to Jacksonville.
Our Derek Carr?
So, let's go Derek Carr, Amari Cooper, whoever out there. Pull the upset, please.
Please.
And then if I'm making guesses, my roommate and I were talking about this a little bit about when these games would be played. Based on just kind of how I think the league would shake it up, I think it would be Jacksonville versus whoever they play at 4:25 on Saturday, and then the Rams and whoever they play on Saturday night. So it would be, based on this, it'd be Jacksonville and Los Angeles at 4:25 on Saturday, and the Rams in Atlanta on Saturday night. And then Sunday at 1 p.m., I could see New Orleans and Carolina. And then Sunday at 4 o'clock, I could see Kansas City and Baltimore.
Hmm.
And I am totally here for us getting the first playoff game of the playoffs. It's only fitting that the entire nation gets to watch us first.
I want Saturday at 4:30.
Yes, Saturday at 4:30 is the ideal slot, I think, for everybody.
That is the ideal. I mean, I'd love to have a real night game if it were possible. At the same time, I also enjoy the idea being the first. Saturday at 4:30 also gives fans time to recover, whether it be from a win and they're partying or a loss and they're heartbroken. At least you get an extra day before going back to work. But let's be confident, they're going to win. That's going to happen.
Yeah, but yes, so definitely go for the Raiders this week. Raiders,
go Raiders, and go Bills.
Yeah. Actually, we don't want this. If the Raiders and Dolphins win, then the Titans take the playoff spot. So definitely,
I don't want.
Yeah, we don't want that.
I don't want the Titans. No.
Bills and Raiders.
Bills and Raiders. And I think that'll just about do it for us here at Locked On Jaguars. Next time we talk to you guys, it's going to be 2018. So ever since I took this pod over in late August, early September, it's been quite a ride. Bringing Chris on has also been great. The content keeps getting better for you, the people. And we're going to have a lot more stuff coming in the new year. So obviously, be safe on New Year's Eve. Especially if the Jags win. That only gives you more reason to party on New Year's Eve. But at the same time, those parties are deserved. Go Jaguars. And we will talk to you guys in 2018.
And actually, before we finally sign off for the last thing of the regular season, I actually have one more thing that I want to let you people know. If you hadn't heard, the Jaguars wildcard game is sold out. With the official team statement being, Jaguars fans are ready for the postseason. The AFC South champion Jaguars will host a wildcard game weekend game January 6th or 7th, marking their first playoff game in Jacksonville since January 2000. How high is demand? Well, Jags fans, you guys did a fantastic job. Not only did the team sell out its available inventory in little more than an hour Wednesday, it received permission from the NFL and two sponsors, Navy Mutual and the Florida Department of Transportation's Alert Today, Alive Tomorrow campaign, to remove the tarps. That's right, folks, the tarps are gone. That typically cover 3,501 seats at Everbank Field. Those seats sold out in less than 5 minutes Friday morning, and the team then sold 1,200 more standing room seats shortly thereafter. I believe it was like less than 10 minutes as well. And then an official statement from Shad Khan, he said, "It's amazing. I'm also not surprised in the least. Our fans have been waiting too long to unlock the passion they have for their team and city. The chance to show the world how great Jacksonville is as a football town is finally here, and our fans came through just as I knew they would. Winning pays off, but nonetheless, we are grateful for the response. I only wish we could accommodate everyone. Tickets sold so far for this first round game, 69,132 fans at Everbank.
You heard it. 69,000. This nice. Is the Jaguars year.
It's been a long time coming, Duval. I've been imploring you guys to buy fans. In the last few weeks, you guys have shut me up.
Yeah.
We have a sellout at the bank.
Nearly 70,000. We're going to keep it at, we're going to keep calling it, we're not going to call it nearly 70,000, although that obviously sounds huge, but just because it's at 69,000, we're going to keep calling it that because it's nice. But
Zach,
this is their year.
Zach and I will be there.
We will. We will probably not recap that night. just fair warning, especially if they win.
Oh, yeah.
It's going to be bigly.
But yeah, so we will, next time we talk to you folks, it will officially be the NFL postseason in which your Jaguars are actually participating.
In which case, go Jaguars.
Go Jags.